Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text 37.
Samayam manate loho,
samayam manate loho,
yasangam abhisanginam,
yasangam abhisanginam,
admopamyena manujam,
admopamyena manujam.
Yapinvanam yato buddha,
Yapinvanam yato buddha,
Samayam mayate loko,
Samayam mayate loko,
Iyasangam apisanginam,
Iyasangam apisanginam,
Admopamyena manujam,
Admopamyena manujam,
Yapinvanam yato buddha,
Yapinvanam yato buddha,
Samayam mayate loko, Yasangam apisanginam,
Yasangam apisanginam,
Admopamyena manujam,
Admopamyena manujam,
Yaprindanam yatobuddha,
Yaprindanam yatobuddha.
Some?
Unto Lord Krishna.
Unto Lord Krishna. I am?
I am.
All these common men.
All these common men.
Manyate, do speculate within the mind.
Do speculate within the mind.
Loka,
loka,
the conditioned souls.
Conditioned souls.
He
certainly.
Asangam,
asangam,
unattached.
Unattached.
Api,
api,
in spite of.
In spite of.
Sanginam,
sanginam,
affected.
Affected.
Atma,
atma,
self.
Self.
Opamyena,
opamyena,
by comparison with the self,
by comparison with the self,
manujam,
manujam,
ordinary man,
ordinary man,
vyaprinvanam,
vyaprinvanam,
being engaged in,
being engaged in,
yata,
yata,
because,
because,
abuddha,
abuddha,
foolish because of ignorance,
foolish because of ignorance.
Translation. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. Purport. The word abuddha is significant here. Due to ignorance, only the foolish mundane wranglers misunderstand the Supreme Lord and spread their foolish imaginations among innocent persons by propaganda. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the original primeval personality of Godhead, and when he was personally present before the eyes of everyone, he displayed full-fledged divine potency in every field of activities. As we have already explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is completely independent to act however he likes, but all his actions are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Only the foolish mundaners misunderstand him, unaware of his eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. This different potencies work in a perfect plan of natural sequence, and doing everything by the agency of his different potencies, he remains eternally the supreme independent. When he descends into the mature world by his causeless mercy to different living beings, he does so by his own potency. He is not subject to any condition of material modes of nature, and he descends as he is originally. The mental speculators misunderstand him as the supreme person, and they consider his impersonal features as inexplicable Brahman to be all. Such a conception is also the product of conditioned life because they cannot go beyond their own personal capacity. Therefore, one who considers the Lord on the level of one's limited potency is also a common man. Such a man cannot be convinced that the personality of Godhead is always unaffected by the modes of material nature. He cannot understand that the sun is always unaffected by infectious matter. The mental speculators compare everything from the standpoint of experimental knowledge of their own selves. Thus, when the Lord is found to act like an ordinary person in matrimonial bondage, they consider him to be like one of them, without considering that the Lord can at once marry 16,000 wives or more. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they accept one side of the picture while disbelieving the other. This means that due to ignorance only, they always think of Lord Krishna as like themselves and make their own conclusions, which are absurd and unauthentic from the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ajnana Shalakaya Shakshmunitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Sapitam Yena Bhutare Swam Bhagadamayam Dharati Satalantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpa Kribhishcha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Navaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So Lord Krishna is entering into Dwarka, and we've been hearing the different descriptions from the citizens and primarily the queens, Krishna's queens, his family members, how they were receiving Krishna, the transcendental form of Krishna. So still we're continuing by dispelling this common misunderstanding that Krishna is a normal person, just like the common man who gets married, has children, etc. So the personality and the form of Krishna in terms of his tattva is being explained here, particularly in reference to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein it is stated satam param dimahi, that there's no more truth beyond that, there's no more truth beyond Vasudev. So the tattva of Krishna is here being intertwined with this, with these pastimes of Krishna and his queens, because if we do not understand Krishna's nature in terms of his personality, in terms of his appearance, then it becomes difficult for us to actually understand how Krishna deals with different grades of devotees, different grades of devotees, different grades of pure devotees. So his tattva in terms of his shaktis, his potencies, in terms of his eternal Satchit Ananda form, and the modes of material nature are also explained. So Krishna explains that matha parataram na anyat, beyond me there is no more superior power. And in this purport, Prabhupada highlights how even the so-called mental speculators, the anthropologists or the mundane philosophers and the sociologists, etc., they are actually using their own personal capacity, their limited potency, to try and understand the unlimited Krishna. So Prabhupada points out that this is a flaw, that a limited subtle body cannot actually go beyond their limited scope of mind to try and understand the absolute truth. So this is why Prabhupada says that such persons, such limited personalities, they are seen as common men due to a poor lack of knowledge. So due to ignorance of the real self, and the connection between the self and the absolute truth. There's so much speculation going on in terms of our existence and also in terms of Krishna's position. Prabhupada states that only the foolish mundaners misunderstand him, unaware of his eternal form of knowledge and bliss, which has been confirmed in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. Now, if we do not understand specifically Krishna's potency in terms of how Krishna explains himself, Krishna himself is explaining about himself because he knows himself best. If we do not listen to Krishna explain how he actually deals and works with different energies, because we are so limited in our conditioned state, we will always be in a bewildered condition. We will always be in a doubtful situation, disbelieving, just based on our conditioned self, based on the conditioned mind, based on the conditioned senses, what we can perceive. It is very difficult for the conditioned soul to perceive how Krishna can marry over 16,000 wives and at the same time be detached from that. So for a conditioned soul, that is very difficult because we normally use our own selves as a check and balance. So we compare ourselves to another person, or we compare ourselves to Krishna. It is not possible for me to marry more than one wife. It is not possible for me to maintain two wives or three wives. How is it possible for another person to do that? So we size ourselves up with Krishna. And because we are so limited and we can't do it, so logically we come to the conclusion that no one can do it. Therefore, you know, he cannot be detached. He cannot have so many wives and be detached. He has to be attached. Right? Well, how can he possibly have so many wives? So, mental speculation blocks our understanding of Krishna, the personality. Right? Not only does it block us from understanding his tattva, but it also blocks us from understanding his sweet dealing with the devotees. So, Prabhupada mentions also in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna, and Krishna himself explains, when he descends to this material domain, he does so in his original transcendental form. Krishna explains that he comes in his Atma Maya, he comes by his original internal potency. So even just coming to the platform of just thinking the absolute truth is Brahman, Srila Prabhupada explained that this is also a product of contact of the modes of material nature. So this is still a form of ignorance. This is still a form of conditioned life because we're just basing it on our own personal capacity. Now when we live life just based on our own personal capacity, there's so many limitations that we put on ourselves because the material body is conditioned by nature. There's so many things that we are limited by. Having a material body means you accept the limitations. A material body means there will be imperfect senses. So there's no question about it. A material body means imperfect senses, you know, illusion, cheating propensities, committing of mistakes, being affected by the activities of the mind, our own mind, the minds of others, other living entities, natural calamities, they disturb us. So having taken that into consideration, it becomes very difficult then to logically try to understand the absolute truth because we have so many deficiencies. But we're handicapped. Actually, having a material body means you are handicapped. And there's so much that we actually cannot grab, so much that we cannot access. So that is why we'll hear how it is important to rely on the disciplic succession. So the disciplic succession in our sampradaya, beginning from one Brahma, the original person in this universe, he understood this knowledge, he realized this knowledge after it had been revealed to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, out of performing austerity. He became purified, and the Lord, situated in his heart, revealed to him the absolute truth. He showed him his transcendental form, the spiritual world, and he gave him transcendental knowledge within his heart. So in that way, Lord Brahma, he gave a description of Krishna in his Brahma Samhita. Although there were certain verses that today we only find due to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while traveling in South India, he came to the Adikeshav Mandir, where he came across the palm leaf manuscripts of the Brahma Samhita. And having having access of this, Lord Chaitanya, of course, delivered it to his disciples to duplicate, to make copies, because these certain verses of the Brahma Samhita explain the position of Krishna, his tattva, how he relates even with the modes of material nature, how different the living entities are from the modes of material nature, which means there's so much distinction made between the Purusha, the Prakriti, the Ishvara. The Brahma Samhita itself begins by explaining who the Ishvara is. Ishvara Parama, the Supreme Krishna. So it gives, not Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, but it gives direct who is the Ishvara and who is Param, who is supreme, who is above all others. It gives who is the cause of all causes is. And that personality is given as Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya, understanding this value of the Brahma Samhita, delivered it, of course, to his immediate associates to push on with the Vaishnav community, to help us understand Krishna's tattva. And actually, without understanding these truths about Krishna, it's difficult for us to understand how Krishna deals with the devotees, or how Krishna deals with the modes of material nature. We know what happens when we deal with the modes of material nature. We become bewildered. We become covered over. We become full of material desires. So depending on which mode we choose to associate with, the mode of ignorance, of course, being very strong, the mode of passion, driving our every existence, right? And the mode of goodness has its faults as well. We're not striving to just remain on the mode of goodness. Certainly it is good, because from there it's very easy for us to jump forward into the transcendental realm. But nonetheless, we're meant to move away from association of the modes of material nature, because they're very different from Krishna. We want to attach ourselves to Krishna's transcendental internal potency. So Lord Chaitanya would stress very much about the Brahma Samhita, about its authority, because it has been composed by Lord Brahma, directly instructed by Lord Krishna himself. And Prabhupada also explains how the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very important. In the same sense, this Vedic literature is very important because it is explaining the subject matter of Krishna. Now the Vaishnav Acharyas, for example, Srila Jiva Goswami, he has written histories, he has written sandarbhas, in which one of them is the Krishna Sandarbha. And in that treatise, he's explaining, you know, the position of Krishna, Krishna's transcendental qualities, his tattva, how he relates to everything, how he relates to everyone, every type of living entity. So how that happens, how we can get to understand these subject matters, we can see from the previous acharyas how everything to them is revealed in the heart by the mercy of Krishna. So all the literatures that are actually being produced or that are being commented by our previous acharyas, they're actually bona fide. They're not man-made, manufactured, or mentally speculated subject matters. Because it is coming in line with Krishna, it's coming in line with the acharyas, these books are actually very, very bona fide. So Prabhupada's core books are bona fide because he's coming in line in parampara, and he is not deviating. So just as it explains by Srila Prabhupada, Tene Brahma Hidaya, right? Brahma was alone, he could not see Krishna, but Krishna explains Isvarasava Bhutanam Hidesha Junatisthiti, that within the heart he reveals everything. Krishna is residing in the heart. So he reveals transcendental knowledge to the qualified devotee, to the purified devotee. So all this knowledge becomes revealed. So Krishna is in everyone's heart as Chaitya Guru. So to the degree that we're qualified, Krishna reciprocates in terms of giving us transcendental knowledge. To the degree that we become pure and allow ourselves to be instruments of Krishna, Krishna gives us transcendental knowledge, not only to understand him, but also speak about him, to also praise him, to compose nice prayers. We see in different pastimes how the devotee becomes choked in emotion and becomes stunned, not knowing what to say when the Lord reveals himself. And just by a slight touch of the Lord, by his conch shell or the lotus flower, the Lord gives blessings so that the devotee can actually compose choice verses. And in that way, the Lord is described as Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by selected verses by the pure devotee. So it is by Krishna's mercy that the devotee can actually speak so eloquently about himself, about the Absolute Truth. So, in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada in the Purport explains that yes, we're getting our knowledge from the Adi Kavi, the original poet, Lord Brahma. He's bona fide. And coming in disciplic succession, we can also understand the Supreme Person, Krishna. But by our mental speculation, by using our own personal capacity, separate from Krishna and separate from the revealed scriptures, we cannot understand the Absolute Truth. If we allow ourselves to become limited by our so-called personal capacity, it is not possible for us even just to get a drop of the nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. As long as we see ourselves as separate from Krishna, as long as we see ourselves as independent entities, then we cannot understand any subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can read as much as we can, but this deep-rooted ignorance still lies in the heart. And that ignorance is, as Prabhupada explains in the chapter entitled The Modes of Material Nature in the Bhagavad Gita, that ignorance means that we defy authority, we do not accept the authority that's being presented. And later on, that is described as a demonic tendency. It is a demonic quality actually not to accept the Vedic literatures. Although one may be seemingly situated in the mode of goodness, some people externally they look like they are situated in the mode of goodness. You know, they're vegetarian, they like farming, they do so many nice things, but they do not accept the Vedic literatures, Prabhupada explains. It is a demonic tendency. It is a demonic quality. So an important point is that we accept the authority given by Lord Brahma, by Sukadeva Goswami, by Srila Vyasadeva, all our acharyas, because it is coming in line and it is, you know, it is authority and it is knowledge that is free from the modes of material nature. It is not based on mental speculation. Well, it is not Kaitava Dhamma, it is not cheating religion, it is real religion, it is Sanatana Dhamma. So if we hover around our so-called personal capacity to to do anything in devotional service, then we are very, very limited in our understanding. So it's in the, I think it's in the third canto of the chapter that explains devotional service in the three modes of material nature. And our intention while performing devotional service, is it mainly to get some subtle sense gratification, some name, fame, prestige, or to increase our potency or ability to perform certain services for our satisfaction. So our devotional service becomes tainted by contaminated desires in the heart. Prabhupada here says, therefore, one who considers the Lord on the level of one's limited potency is only a common man, and such man cannot be convinced that this personality of Godhead is always unaffected by the modes of material nature. So we can get some people in society, we can praise Krishna, we can explain different paths and different potencies of Krishna, but as long as this person thinks that Krishna was just a nice prince in the Mahabharata, he used to shoot nice arrows, he had his panchadanya, you know, he had his chakra spinning around, chopping people's heads off. Oh, he was a great warrior. This is Krishna. Bhima was also, you know, Bhishma was a great warrior as well. You know, they're on the same platform, Arjuna. They're all from the same family. So if we commonalize Krishna, if we normalize Krishna, using ourselves as a step-up point, then we're committing a very, very grave offense because we're diminishing the position of Krishna. Because Krishna says that he comes in all different species of life. Krishna appears in the human species, in the demigods, in the aquatics, within the so many different species. But that doesn't mean that he's conditioned to act like everyone else. Now, we don't see any fish in the pond extremely effulgent with ornaments, with paraphernalia. You know, Krishna appears as Matsya, he's just, you know, a beautiful fish or a hog, right? In Botswana, where I grew up, there's just hogs everywhere. And now away from the city, you just see little piggies. And they don't really look transcendental. But we hear the description of Varahadev, whether he's appearing Chakshusha Manvanta or the other Manvanta, he does not appear as a normal hog. He's the Supreme Personality of God, seemingly appearing as a Varaha. And so all these forms, they are not normal forms. Even just their appearance, even when Krishna appeared in the heart of Devaki, you know, and then Krishna seemingly was born, it wasn't a normal birth. I haven't seen any kids anywhere appearing with, you know, like transcendental hair and crowns from their mother's womb, crying. Krishna wasn't crying when he appeared. Krishna was smiling and laughing. So this Krishna's appearance in itself, Krishna's arrival in the material domain, is not tainted by any mode. Krishna cannot be touched by the modes of material nature. And just as the sun, we see that the sun does not get contaminated. And the sun is shining everywhere, in filthy places, in clean places. The sun always remains as it is. So Krishna always remains as it is. So even if he acts like a normal person, he gets married, he has a grihastha scene, he has children, grandchildren, Krishna is not attached. And that is one of his opulence, right? He's full in renunciation. So it is only due to a poor fund of knowledge that we see Krishna as a common person. Now, in any arrival, when the Queen comes to Melbourne, or Prince Charles is coming, or William or Harry, We can see the reception. Right here we've been studying the reception of Krishna's arrival. I've never seen people get choked when they see presidents come with affection and tears are gliding down their eyes and they're just composing verses and prayers for the king and the premier or the prime minister. But that is only meant for Krishna because he's not an ordinary person. You know, when Lord Ramachandra was coming back to Ayodhya, he had the streets being sprayed with perfumed water. There was, you know, nice incense burning. There was flags. There was this. There was chariots, elephants decorated with gold. So many different things. Now we see, a few horses with feathers and stuff. Not much opulence. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he just goes beyond the normal functioning. When he appears, nature rearranges itself. Right? The alignment astronomically rearranges itself. Nature rearranges itself. Right? Flowers start opening up. Flowers just bloom back into season. The rivers just start flowing nicely. So everything rearranges itself. This is the potency of Krishna. So these wives of Krishna, these residents of Dwarka, they do not see Krishna, they do not speculate about Krishna's position because they have heard it. Previous verses we've seen how these citizens and the wives of Krishna, they had heard about Krishna. Some of them had heard about Krishna, they had never, through bona fide authority, they just heard about this personality, right, and understood, yes, this is the Supreme Person. So having that strong faith in authority, in Vedic texts, in Vedic literature, Krishna within the heart reveals to them, although they didn't go to Gurukula, they didn't sit down and have long discourses as females in Vedic times. But Krishna in the heart reveals to them his janma and his karma, his transcendental birth and activities. And that is why they then offer prayers, quoting from different Upanishads, explaining Krishna's tattva. Right? Because Krishna is revealing it in the heart because they are qualified. So to qualify ourselves to understand Krishna more, we have to become unaffected by the modes of material nature, which means we have to place our faith, our level of understanding on bona fide sources that explain the personality of Krishna. Based on our own personal capacity, on our mental speculation, it will not be possible. If you want knowledge, we actually have to take knowledge from the disciplic succession. There's a verse in the 10th canto explaining this. Atanti te deva param buddhadvayam prasada lasanyu ka evadi janati tatvam bhagvan mahino na chanya eva pichiran vichinvan. So perpetually chiran vichinvan, Prabhupada explains, perpetually we can speculate birth after birth. We can speculate about Krishna, but we'll never understand him. We can only understand Krishna through disciplic succession. So this is what the residents of Dwarka have been doing. They've understood Krishna through revealed scriptures, through authority. Through Guru, Sagar and Shastra, one can understand Krishna, not through mental speculation. Because mental speculation means association with the modes of material nature, which means we are limited. You cannot go beyond matter. The modes of material nature means you are bound by gross and subtle matter. But as soon as you access books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you go beyond the scope of gross and subtle matter. So this is, for us, this is very important, to rise above the modes and come into the realm of Krishna consciousness, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. So I'll stop then and ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu?
understand the context from this verse with regard to Krishna's entrance into Radha.
Mm-hmm.
Why this verse has come up in here? It's not contrary to the reception of the Lord.
Well, the past few days we're hearing about how when Krishna was entering Dwarka, of course, to follow etiquette, to show us that etiquette is very important, Krishna would first go to see his parents, his mom, his dad, his relatives, and then he would go and see his wives. And then the Vasudeva of Krishna, 16,000 times 108, would expand and go into the palaces simultaneously, maintaining his potency, but at the same time relating differently, because all the queens are fully blown, you know, individuals. So you have Satyabhama, Rukmini, Lakshman, they're all very different, and Krishna deals with them differently. So, understanding that Krishna has over 16,000 wives, and Krishna is acting as a married man, a common person cannot accept that. This is why, after all this explanation about the queens and how they are embracing Krishna within their heart, within their minds, how Krishna is maintaining all these queens, a common person who reads this, they actually cannot understand, because they just see Krishna, oh, he's married, he's attached, or he has so many wives, that means he's attached, so he might just be a common fellow. Why give so much importance to him as a god? No, he has so many girlfriends. In every state, Krishna has a girlfriend. How can we accept him as God? So, the past few verses have been explaining how Krishna is Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. But to reciprocate with the devotee, Krishna enters into so many different relationships. But a common person, because that common person is sizing himself up, who is limited in his conditioned state. He sizes himself up with Krishna. Because he is limited, therefore Krishna has to be limited. So there's no way Krishna can actually behave like this. He is not God, he's just like me and you. So this is why now we're hearing about the supremacy of Krishna in terms of he's the cause of all causes. But he's the Param Ishvara. Now we're hearing, it brings it back to, so Krishna has all these different rasas with his queens, and then it brings us back to his, you know, his tattva, why Krishna can act like this. He's independent. He's not bound by material laws. Krishna can transgress, and he's never contaminated just like the sun. So here to bring ourselves back to understanding, okay, I'm reading about Krishna, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once again, we're reminded of his tattva. And then the rasa continues. So that is the context. The queens have been glorifying Krishna's relationship. It's explaining how the queens had so much affection for Krishna, etc., etc. And how that affection came about. And why they accept him as the Supreme Person. So we also, it is for our sake that we get reminded.
I just noticed a very devotee
who
is that can't read Prabhupada's books, some can't.
Hmm.
And they have so much trouble reading devotees because of that. And is there some way that you know of that can help them to be able to read more from Prabhupada's books?
Is it that they cannot read Prabhupada's books, or they're lazy? Is it a time factor, or they just, when they open it up, they just fall off to sleep? Or?
No, they just have never been really able to do that.
Okay, so. Yeah, I go through those phases sometimes. She said sometimes devotees find it difficult to read Prabhupada's books. So what I normally do is to remind myself, I listen, there's so many different categories of lectures where Prabhupada emphasizes books. So I'll listen to 5 minutes Prabhupada speaking why books are the basis, why it is important for us to read his books or to just read his books. And oftentimes if we read a statement where Prabhupada says, and if we understand, that's why it's also important to read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, because then we can get, or any biography, whether it's What's the Difficulty, Harisori Prabhu or Shruta Kirti Prabhu, then we understand the amount of time Prabhupada put into writing books, then naturally we'll have this gratitude to at least want to read his books. So that's one point. The second point is if we try to surround ourselves, or if we try to get inspiration from others who do the same, who are reading Prabhupada's books. So if we have good association, it will become easy for us to read Prabhupada's books. And if we're hearing properly, we'll see the importance of actually reading Prabhupada's books. You know how in the Western world they say an apple away keeps the doctor away. So reading a book a day keeps mine away. So even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we have to be intelligent. Sometimes we may desire to read 5 hours a day, and it's not practical. So we have to set goals for ourselves. You know, in this week, I will read 2 chapters of Bhagavatam. How that happens, it's up to the individual. But as long as you maintain that, then the more time you give to the Bhagavatam, the more Bhagavatam will give itself to you. So Bhagavatam is Krishna, and Krishna is time. So if we're desiring to know Krishna, Krishna will arrange situations, he'll push himself on us. So if we show Krishna that we want to, then Krishna reciprocates. That's how he says he does it. As you surrender, I reward you accordingly. We have to show Krishna that we are endeavoring. So it can come through association and from listening to his lectures about the importance of reading Shastra. Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki.